This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so thrilled I have in the studio with me today Angela Hunt. And as the music was playing, we were both typing away. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
It's so nice to have you in the studio, even though it's a little bit cool for Florida. But it's wonderful that you managed to come in. A lot of people don't go out here in Florida when it's 44 degrees. But it's great to have you here. And we're going to be talking about your wonderful series. As I mentioned to you, I'm going to be doing some traveling, and so I wanted to get back into all of your books because, well, in a way, they are like travel just perfect for traveling.
Through time and over the miles.
That's right. So we're going to talk about that. But right now, I want to turn to a guest on, this is so exciting. I was so thrilled when I got this interview because I love stories about Africa. I have always loved stories about Africa. And so when I got this opportunity to invite, now I have to say, I hope I pronounced your name right. Yeso, are you there?
That's correct. Yeso Gidi, yes.
Yeso Gidi. And what do you want me to call you? Just Yeso?
Yeso would be good.
Well, Yeso, I'm so happy that you're here today. I've been enjoying your book so much. It's the cover is it's just so fantastic. I'm holding it up to the camera because we're also here on YouTube, so people can see it. It's startling, and it's the kind of cover that people will look at, right?
Oh, definitely.
So Angela Hunt is here in the studio with me, and I want to talk to you about this book, which I am so happy for you. It has the NYC Book Awards winner for 2022. It has a NYC Distinguished Favorite for 2022, a Global Book Award Silver for 2022, and Amazon number one. Boy, oh boy, that's pretty exciting, Yeso.
I am very happy. It has been a great year. I'm very, very grateful for that.
Well, it's well deserved. The book is fascinating. As I was telling Angela, this is a book about mythology, paranormal. It's a combination, and of course, a mystery too. So, what do you want to tell people about this book? It's really an exciting book.
The book follows the journey of two young men who are flowing to the mystical side of the African continent, a mystical world that will challenge and question everything they know about the world. They love to navigate with the wit and sometimes with the help of others to be able to achieve a goal. Talent speaks of the world. It speaks of the African culture, the thought process, the philosophy. And it explores a side of the African continent that's barely approachable and maybe questionable. I think it's just an introduction to the fantastical yet broad and varied culture of the African continent.
Well, I think it will certainly open people's eyes up to the area of the continent that where you're from. Do you want to explain a little bit about where you're from? Because I think most Americans don't know too much about the area.
That's correct. I'm from Ivory Coast. It's called Côte d'Ivoire, and the main language there is French. So I grew up speaking French as my mother tongue, if I can call it like that. And Ivory Coast in West Africa.
Excuse me. Yes, so the sound is a little bit bad. Can you hold the phone a little closer?
I'm using headphone. I'm not sure. You can hear me properly?
No, yes, no, I hear you a little bit better.
That's okay.
Okay. Okay.
So I was saying, Ivory Coast is close to Ghana and not far from Nigeria and Burkina Faso. It's in the west side of Africa. And that's where I grew up. And they speak French as the first language in Ivory Coast.
Now, what is the title of your book? How do you pronounce that?
Tale.
Now,
Tale, yes.
And so this is book number one, and it's called Knowledge, of what you plan to make a series out of this, the whole storyline. What does it mean, and what exactly, where does the story bring people?
The story brings people in Africa, I'll say. I wanted everyone from around the world will be able to open this book, to travel into the world of Africa, the hidden world of Africa, if possible, and at the same time learn a little bit about the culture, the general culture of the African continent, and what people think, and what are the philosophy. And that was one of my main goals.
Well, of course, the mythology is very rich. There's so much that you have in this book. Why, in one way, you've also created a puzzle within the book. Explain why you did that.
Oh, I wanted people to enjoy a little bit more of the book after they finished the first read. Because most of the time when they finish the read, they get a broad stroke of the story. But I wanted with the position of the arcs in the book to the order of the chapter and even the specific use of some words, they should be able to put piece together and understand a little bit more about the story of the book itself.
And you've used this, you have illustrations in the book, and you're using the illustrations as an opportunity to give readers a chance to win something. You've actually developed a contest around the book.
That's correct. And I have received many candidates already, which is very good. Yes. The art in the book are placed in such a way that you won't be able to understand the first time when you read the book. But as you go along, you will start to notice that maybe this guy was what the last chapter was talking about. And I wanted this contest to help people read a little bit more about the book and understand that they can win something. And the prize is very big. Right now, I think it's at $7,000. So it is a good prize.
Yes, it's an amazing prize. And it is, there are illustrations in the book, and people have to identify and name the illustrations. You have a prize, and of course, they also win the artwork, autographed artwork, which is fantastic. I think it's very clever, and your website is The Tales Series, correct?
That's correct, The Tales Series.
So people can go there, they can enter the contest, as they read the book, take notes and see what the answers are going to be. But as you said, the prize is very big. And I think it's a very clever way to promote the book and to get people to read it. Because you're a very talented author. The writing is superb. You really, you have a wonderful way with words. You're descriptions and the way that you paint a picture and bring the reader into the book, I think, are fantastic. So I think people, not only will they find out a lot about Africa, about the mythology, but also about humanity and the mystery that's involved in this story. I think it's great. Tell me, Now, what is your literary background? Who influenced you? What books influenced your writing?
Oh, I don't think I will be able to say one. From childhood, I've read so many books, and I'm sure the many books from various authors that I've read have in some way impacted me. But I was very drawn to African author. I'll say I use my own voice and approach to be able to write this book. But I am sure I have a lot of influence from all the books that I've read, from Western books to African books.
Well, of course, you studied telecommunications, and you are an award-winning animator, television. You've done a lot of work in television, working for Disney and Netflix and Apple TV. Tell us a little bit about that work.
Thank you. Yes, I started telecommunication in Morocco. That's where I started. But when I went to India, I had the opportunity to dive into the CGI world, the computer generated imagery. That's what is used nowadays for movies, on the VFX of the movie. So I started in India, and I went to school there. And after that, I came to Canada, where I continued my study and started working in the film industry. I have not had any role in that section. I have been working for about now 7 years, and I worked for many big companies, as you said, and it was very rewarding. It's the technical side that I like, because I love movies. I love movies from childhood, so it was an occasion for me to dive into it, learn a little bit of it, and be a part of the big movies that come out.
I can see the time where at some point, hopefully you'll be able to work when they do a film of your book, because I have a feeling it would make a wonderful book. It's very visual, and the writing is excellent. I know my listeners, many of my listeners have watched Lost in Space on Netflix, and it is nice for them to know that you worked on that, which is a wonderful, wonderful show. Again, I think that you've done a fantastic job. Yeah, so I'm so happy that you were able to join me. It's just wonderful that you are number one on Amazon bestseller for African literature and for other literature. You know, just right across the board, you've won so many, so much acclaim. And I think it's well deserved. The book is fascinating. It's a wonderful story, and people I want my listeners to go to your website and get the book, read the book, and then enter the contest, because as you said, the prize is now up to $7,000. So again, Yeso, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today, and congratulations on all the success. And when will book two come out?
Thank you for saying all this. I'm very grateful for what has been happening to me. And I hope that it will continue as I'm working. For the second book, to be honest, I don't know. I have started working because I have received so many emails from readers who want to know what's happening next. So I have to start as fast as possible. I'm working on it.
Okay.
But I don't know when, but it's going to take the time it needs to make sure that I've got everything right. The way she needs to.
Okay, well, this book is called Tale. It's book one, and it's called The Knowledge. And book two is going to be?
I don't know.
You don't know yet. Okay, well, so thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It was wonderful to talk to you. And keep working, keep writing. You're really a fine writer. Thank you so much again. Bye-bye now.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow. You know, I've loved African literature so much over the years. I remember Mike Resnick, who wrote sci-fi. Now, this is more paranormal mythology, because you know Africa's so rich in mythology.
Yes,
and so it's a fascinating book, and this is an interesting way. I think the contest is particularly fun.
I know. I was really curious about these illustrations in here. I'm assuming he did them?
Yeah, and what's so nice is that the winner gets, you know, the actual art, you know, a copy of the actual artwork.
Here, which I'll show the camera.
Now, these ones, are, of course, are in black and white, but they're in color, the real ones. And you can go to his website and see more about him. And
oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, yes. So we're going to keep an eye on him, and we'll keep an eye on the contest. And when we hear about the winner, we'll announce it here on Joy and Paper.
Oh, that's great!
Isn't that great?
What a great idea!
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, that's his first book. I don't even know how many books you've written. I was going to. I thought to myself, you know, you've been on many times, and I know your books, and I thought, well, I'll print out a list, and then I went to your website. I thought, I'm not printing this out. She's going to use up all my paper. How many books are you up to? With the children's books, the middle grade books, the series, everything.
Well, the last time I counted, it was 150. But I've written a few since then, so I'll have to do another recount.
Yeah.
But I like to stay busy.
Yeah, it would be nice if I had that old, you know, remember those old printers where the paper was connected?
Yes, the dot matrix.
Yeah, the dot matrix, and keep going. So with you, I could just keep going. Wow, you have fun.
I do, but I would always rather be finished with the writing than sitting down to start to do it. That's hard.
Wow. You know, as I was telling you, I'm going to be going to Israel.
I'm so excited for you.
And it's been over 15 years since I've been there. And so, and unfortunately, during the pandemic, of course, a lot of our relatives, you know, used to come from Israel, and they'd come, and we'd see them. You know, so it wasn't so that bad that we didn't get back there. But of course, once the pandemic hit, they were completely locked up.
Oh, yeah, everybody was.
So, so it's nice that I'm going to be able to finally go. And when I was thinking about it, of course, I thought, oh, I know exactly how to prepare for this trip. I'm just going to read Angela Hunt. I'm just going to grab all of her books and start reading, because you have so many wonderful books that are about the Holy Land and about Egypt. So it's sort of all a combination. And just to take us back in time and remind us of all the words and the names, the people that we will be thinking about and talking about when I'm in Israel.
Yeah, and the way of life. I mean, yeah. I have three books coming out this year, 2023, and one of the ones I'm most excited about is nonfiction, and it's a daily Advent devotional. So there's 25, and you're supposed to read one starting December 1st all the way through Christmas Day. But what I did was I took our misconceptions about Christmas or what Israel was like in those days in the first century, and sort of said, no, this is how it would be. For instance, everybody, the movies, the Christmas cards, they all show Mary and Joseph. Mary's riding the donkey and Joseph's leading it on this lonely road, right? Well, no way would it have happened that way, because first of all, it was not safe to travel alone. Secondly, donkeys were beasts of burden. The donkey was to carry the water jars, the blankets, all that sort of thing. Even if the woman was heavily pregnant, she would be walking. People were used to walking long distances in those days, and if anybody would have ridden, it would have been the man, because men came first, you see. But most likely, because I know everybody's going, oh no, poor Mary!
I rode the donkey when I was in first grade, and I was Mary. And our donkey was made out of one of those wooden horses, you know. Those,
oh, sure.
And it was a wooden horse, and I rode the donkey.
Oh.
And at that time my hair was down to my waist.
Oh wow.
And it was for many years, and I was Mary.
Well.
And if that kid, and I remember who played Joseph, and he was a little bit of a rocket. If he would have tried to get on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mary would have knocked him right off.
I'd have knocked him off.
But what probably really happened was they fell in with a traveling group. And if that group had had a wagon or a cart or something, Mary probably would have ridden on the cart with everybody else, the little children and all that sort of thing. So a lot of people were going to Bethlehem because a lot of people were born there, the city of David. And so, you know, that's probably what really happened, is they were part of a group, but and the donkey was carrying water jars and things. So it's full of what I, my aim for that book was that in every reading, people would go, oh, I didn't know that, or I never thought of that. So I had so much fun doing the research and writing it.
And what's the title of that one?
It's called Star of Wonder. And then there's a subtitle that's so long I can never remember, but it's something about rediscovering the people, places, and purpose of the first Christmas.
Yeah, and there's a song, Star of Wonder, Star of Light.
Uh-huh.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great book.
I know.
It's going to be fun.
I had so much fun writing it, and so that's why I'm so excited for it to come out. And it all started with Facebook posts. One morning, I went on Facebook, and I was kind of venting, and I said, I was trying to find an angel for my yard decoration, you know. But I was irritated because all of the angels that I saw online or whatever, they were all women and they had long flowing hair, and there's not a single angel in the Bible that's female. And so I was just venting about angels are not female, at least not in the Bible anyway, and they typically wear whatever the people they're with are wearing, and they don't have wings. The only wings that angels are depicted with are the cherubim and the seraphim, but the ordinary messenger angels do not have wings. And so here I was going off on this thing, and so it had such a good response. Everybody said, oh, I never thought about that. So I wrote a series just for my Facebook page, and then I thought, you know, there's probably a book idea in this. Yeah. So
the way your mind works, yes, you always have a book idea.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And my Facebook readers were a great help.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you know, for me, my image of an angel is Cary Grant in that wonderful Christmas movie.
Oh, yes.
I love that movie where he plays the angel and he plays the harp. And for me, that's the perfect angel.
What's the name of it? There was a remake with Whitney Houston.
Oh, well, that I probably wouldn't see.
But it's the same story, and I can't think of the name of it, but I know exactly what you mean.
And you know which one. And it's David Niven plays the reverend, the preacher.
And he's too busy to spend any time with his wife.
And the angel comes down, and I thought, honey.
Cary Grant, yeah.
Now that's an angel, right?
That's pretty angelic, yeah. And he didn't have wings,
no,
did he?
No, he didn't. But he did play the harp. So
yes.
That was good.
And he wore a suit, so he fit right in.
Yes, he did. And what about harps? Did they play harps back then?
You know, I cannot think of a single place in the Bible where angels play harps. As a matter of fact, the night the angels appeared to the shepherds and Glory to God in the Highest, everybody says they sang it. The Bible says they said it. So they said it. There's no singing in that scene, biblically.
Huh.
So I know that bursts a lot of people's bubbles.
Well, you know, yeah, but they weren't, you know, they were not Jewish, right?
Angels are...
No, not the angels.
Oh, the shepherds were Jewish.
Were they Jewish?
Definitely.
Yeah? So they were all Jewish, all three of them.
Right.
So, yeah, okay. They could have been singing.
Well, it could have almost been like the cantor.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
In a synagogue, they could have been singing the words like a cantor sings, but not with full orchestra.
Well, you know, we have to have some fun. So
yeah, people tend to do it. But it could, you know, I never thought of that. It could have been very much like a cantor.
Yeah. Somehow, you know, I think maybe, you know, I mean, what do we know about the wise men? Do you know more about the wise men?
I do. I did a piece on them. They were, well, first of all, we do not know that there were three, for sure. It could have been three. Could have been 30. We know they brought three gifts. But they also would have traveled in a caravan for safety's sake. And if they were going to be gone a long time, they could have brought their families, their children, their servants. I mean, this probably was a pretty monstrous caravan because it elicited a lot of attention when it arrived in Jerusalem. And they knew to look for it because when the Hebrews were exiled in Babylon, they undoubtedly took their scriptures with them, the scrolls of the writings, the Pentateuch, the Torah, all that. So, and Daniel went with them, and Daniel wrote books while he was there. He wrote the book of Daniel. And so I think it's Genesis, no, it's Numbers, that has the story of Balaam, the prophet, who said, I see him, but not yet. A star will come out of Israel, and a scepter will rise. And so Balaam, who was sent to curse the Jews, actually ended up blessing them. So those people in Babylon, the astrologers and the magi, the wise men that advised the king, they knew all of the Jews' history because they had those documents. They had Daniel, who was chief of the Magi in the Babylonian court. So they knew all of that stuff. And also, Daniel wrote a prophecy about, I might have the numbers wrong because I don't have a good memory for numbers, but it was something like 480 years after the edict to rebuild Jerusalem, the Anointed One will come. And so they even had a pretty good time frame of when the Messiah was going to appear. And it was Darius who issued the edict to go out. He sent the Jews out, told them they could rebuild their holy city. And so those magi, generations later, had been keeping an eye on all those prophecies and watching the stars. And when an unusual light appeared, they set out to follow it. Now, a lot of people talk about, what was it? Was it a conjunction of stars? Well, there is a conjunction of stars that they often call the Bethlehem Star, but that occurs, I think it's every 17 years. I'd have to check my notes to make sure. But I just think it's probably not that conjunction of stars because it appears with such regularity, even now, that why would they know that was the special one? I think it was the Shekinah glory of God because it appeared at the birth of Christ and it appeared so the Magi could see it. And the Bible says once they reached Jerusalem, they went in and talked to King Herod, who of course wanted to kill who he imagined was a usurper. And then the wise men went out to look again for this newborn king and the star moved. Not like a normal star. It moved and stood over the house where the baby was. And that's how the Magi found it. Then they went back another way, and apparently the star disappeared. Because when Herod went to look for it, he saw no sign at all. So he was stuck. He couldn't find him. That's why he killed every baby boy under 2 years old in Bethlehem.
Well, you know, speaking of Herod, because of course, yes. When I go to Israel, I will be. It's so much fun to travel in Israel. You know, it's so small. People don't realize how small it is. So you're going from one place to another, mm-hmm. and you are literally in the footsteps
yes.
of somebody, you know, somebody from the Bible. So, and it's really exciting. And of course, Herod. Is definitely around.
Oh, he left his prints everywhere.
He did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he did something for you, gave you a great idea for a book. Tell us about...
Oh, yes, Herod's, what's it called, King Shadow.
Yeah.
It's about Herod and his sister Salome. And, he was a piece of work. He was so... Well, he was a Jewish convert. He was not genetically, ethnically Jewish. And he tried to keep the Jews happy, but they resented him. But that's why he rebuilt the temple for them. He thought that would thrill them. He married one of their princesses, one of the Hasmonean descendants. But then he murdered her and two of her sons. And he was just like the ultimate narcissist. anybody who he imagined was a threat to his power, even on his deathbed, he had them executed.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful book. Many, many wonderful books. The three that I mentioned to you, I'm starting to reread all your books. I have all of the books set in Israel or in Egypt, and the Dangerous Beauty series.
Oh,
I love that series. It is so wonderful. First of all, you have the most gorgeous covers. They are
those especially.
They are
amazing.
They are just amazing. I don't. Do you have posters made of them? Are you?
No, I used to have my covers framed, and then I ran out of wall space. So
well, yeah,
when you're
150 plus. Exactly. You need a major major mansion for that. But the Dangerous Beauty one, Esther, that story, that's so great. And then Bathsheba, and of course, Delilah.
Yes. Oh. Poor Delilah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks she's awful. But one thing I learned from psychology years ago was that everybody has, in their own mind, a very good reason for doing what they do. So everybody thinks Delilah was pure evil, but in her mind, she had very good reasons for betraying Samson. And so as a novelist, it's my job to show the reader what those possible reasons could have been. And she does kind of come around at the end of that one, doesn't she?
And she certainly does. Look, I have to take a little commercial break. Let's just do the EHS one. But first, I want to play a book buzz from Bria Burton, because Bria Burton has done another book buzz for us. It's just a wonderful one. As always, she's great. And then we'll have one commercial, and then we'll be back. Okay.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2022 series starter, Mickey 7 by Edward Ashton. The novel is available in print, ebook, and audiobook, with stellar narration by John Pirala. Soon to be a major motion picture called Mickey 17, starring Robert Pattinson. Now, let's download the book buzz. Every time Mickey dies, his body is remade and his uploaded conscience is downloaded into the next iteration, currently Mickey 7. As the ship's expendable, all life-threatening tasks get assigned to him. Multiples are forbidden. When he survives a fall into an icy crevasse thanks to the alien worm that carries him to safety, a shipmate had already reported him dead. Back in his room, Mickey 7 encounters Mickey 8, fresh out of the tank. Neither wants to dive back into the recycler, but can they pull off living as multiples? How hard can it be? Maybe it will make life easier for both of them. That is, until the daily rations get cut in half and Mickey's girlfriend starts to suspect something. A darkly humorous romp full of existential queries about the meaning of life, death, cloning, and immortality, Mickey 7 launches readers into a new page-turning sci-fi series with a sequel on the way. Author Edward Ashton has two other novels and over 24 short fiction pieces published. He writes in a cabin in the woods in upstate New York. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Jesse with a Z, and I am back with my guest in the studio. I love a guest in the studio, Angela Hunt, and she's written over 150 books, and she has 3 books coming out this year. You've already mentioned one of them. What are the other two?
Oh, let me think. Oh, okay, I got it. I'm starting a new series that picks up where, all right, I just finished a series called Jerusalem Road, which is about the peripheral people in the life of Jesus. Like, one's about his sister, one's about his mother, one's about...
It's the daughter of Cana, right?
Yes, daughter of Cana is the first one.
A shepherd's wife, a woman's ward, and apostle sister, which
that's
you
brought
That's
the fourth me. One. That's fourth right. One. And so this one is actually about Paul's sister, and... she's, you know, she's a devout Jewish lady, and she has the gift of singing, but she gets married, and she marries a Torah scholar, so they move to Jerusalem, and they weren't using choirs with men and women in the temple at that time.
No.
So she's very frustrated. She's got this gift. She wants to use it. So anyway, that's her story. And she's very frustrated because when Paul converts, she's shamed. She's teaching music to some children, and everybody doesn't want their kid to go to her house anymore. And so she really has a hard time when her brother converts to belief in Yeshua. So it's very different.
Okay, I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Thank you.
I've read the other three. I didn't have this one, so I'm so happy.
There you go. So the next book, the one that comes out this year, it starts a new series called The Emissaries. And so those last four books were all about the Jews, and now I'm moving to the Gentiles, who are actually... this is going to come out wrong, but their lives were much more colorful because they had all these pagan gods that they worshipped. And, well, let me put it this way. They're a lot more unfamiliar to my audience. I don't think they realize just how decadent the Roman culture was and how pagan. And, I mean, we hear about it, but in reality, it was quite the opposite. So it's about people who came to faith under Paul, or they would have known him as Paulos, and their struggle to live out their new Christian faith in this decadent pagan world where Christians were being viewed more and more and more with suspicion. Most Romans just thought they were a sect of the Jews until it became clear that the Orthodox Jews didn't want anything to do with them either. So that's what I'm going to do, a series of 3. The first one, the one that comes out, is set in Philippi. That's it. It's been a year since I wrote it. So it's set in Philippi. The one I'm working on now is set in Corinth. And then the third one will be set in Rome, because all the characters end up there. All the major characters end up there.
Wow. Oh.
So it's going to be... frankly, more action and adventure and life endangering than the first, the Jerusalem Road series was.
Yeah, well, if they land up in the Colosseum, definitely it's going to be action-packed.
Yes, you're on the right track.
I have a feeling. And yes, the decadence of Romans, well, I don't know, perhaps we're experiencing some of it now because
we are, actually. We really are.
You know, I studied Latin for 4 years, which was quite unusual when I was in high school. Actually, most of the students, we had 22 students in first year Latin.
Wow.
You know, which was a nice, but mm-hmm. in those days, you had to study a foreign language. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you had to take a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
And I took Latin. Of course, I took Latin because I didn't know anything about Latin, and I was, you know, well advanced from the other students. So we had 22 students. And second year, she was excited that we had enough enthusiasm to do a second year, because not mm-hmm. every year she didn't have it. Mm-hmm. But we kept 15 students for second year. And it was really great. I mean, she was so thrilled. I never forget it. Like, you know, I have a class, and I will say part of the enthusiasm came because I was enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
Third year, she had not had a third year in high school. In college she had third year, you know, but she never had in high school. And I insisted on a third year, so by third year we were down to 7. No, 8. We were 8, I think, at third year. And by when I said we wanted to continue fourth year, we had 5 students.
That is amazing.
And she was in shock, and I was actually doing the homework for three of the other students, and one of the other, a really great guy. He was as enthusiastic as I was, but mostly he was enthusiastic because he wanted to read all the dirty stuff in Latin.
Teenage boys,
a little bit of Ovid, you know.
Oh yes.
So, but yes, it was pretty decadent, and and so you have a lot of fun here.
Oh, a lot of, yeah. I have to be careful. My audience can't handle a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, I mean, just the culture. And you're right. We are seeing, it's like, you know, what goes around comes around. It's coming around.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is, definitely. It is. So that takes care of book two for 2023. But it's 2023, so she has to have three books.
Hey,
I mean, she's... You are a bit of an overachiever, I think.
Well, I do like to stay busy.
Yeah.
But the third book comes out in November, and it's a contemporary novel. And this sounds like such a downer, but it's basically about suicide and how it affects a family. So this publisher, Focus on the Family Publishing, they wanted to do a series of books on social issues. And so they contacted three of us writers. Jerry Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind series, he acted as an editor, and so on the series proposal idea. So one is about Chris Fabry is writing a novel about dementia and Alzheimer's, dealing with that. My friend Tamara Alexander is writing a book about divorce. And then I chose suicide. And the book is not a downer book, but it deals with, you know, a serious topic. So, yeah.
So, whoa. And so those books are coming out, and I know that you're writing more. So, you know, constantly.
Yes.
And, you know, you have... I'm giving you regards from Jim Lamb because you know Jim Lamb took your wonderful course that you had in Indian, it was Indian Rocks or Indian Shores, wonderful writing seminar that, and he still talks about it all the time, how much he enjoyed it, how really he learned so much from your seminar, and what a delightful and enthusiastic teacher you were at that seminar.
Oh, I love teaching.
Yeah,
it's fun.
So are you doing any more of that, or is it you have online still?
I have that course. In fact, we recorded that workshop, and it is available online on my website, which is angelahuntbooks.com. Right at the bottom, if you scroll down, you can see the link to where that course is available. And I would love to do another one in person. I'm just going to have to find a time and a place to do it.
Yeah, well, maybe later in the summer you can do that because, as I said, Jim just, you know, he's done over the years. He's done lots of seminars. And other people have told me, too. They've done a lot. But your enthusiasm and the way that you taught was so exciting. And it was, I think, what, was it 3 days?
I think it was Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, and half a day on Sunday.
Yeah. They said it just flew by. It was just so wonderful.
Oh, good. Well, I try to make it painless. Learning should be painless and fun.
Yeah, well, you know, and there's so, you know, we just recently, when we had NaNoWriMo, in December, a lot of the people who went through it contacted me, and five of the listeners here had finished. You know, they wrote their 50,000 words, and so they won that. But now, of course, in December, they realize, oh, my goodness.
Now I have to rewrite it.
Yes. That is difficult for them to get that concept in their head that they have to rewrite it.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I always get tickled in movies when they show somebody who's a writer, and you see them typing, and then, boom, they write the end, and they get up as if they're finished. And I'm
Send it to that publisher.
Oh,
get it on.
Ha, ha, ha. That is not the real world.
No. No, not at all. But how, what, you know, just a very specific thing. When you are developing a character, how much do you need to know about that character before you even start writing it? Because you have to understand the character, and you don't lay it all out in sort of one sentence, one paragraph. it comes gradually, but you still have to know that character very well, don't you?
You do. But I'll be honest, when I start, the only thing I know about my character is pretty much the role they're going to play in the book. Like, I know that my protagonist is going to do this, and the antagonist is going to do this. Like, the story I'm working on now is about a sister and a stepsister. It's kind of a Cinderella story in that there's the son of the governor in Corinth, and the narcissistic older sister is setting her cap for him, but it ends up being the sweet, simple, hanging out in the barn with the horse's sister who wins his heart. And so this sister starts manipulating things. And the Romans thought nothing of divorce. It's like, I'd like to marry you, get a divorce, and marry me. I mean, that's what Augustus did with Lavinia.
You probably, Lavinia.
Yes, Lavinia. And so anyway, that's one reason. That's probably the main reason I do 5 drafts, because every draft, every time I go through it, I learn something new about that character, and I write it in, and it gets deeper. My first draft is probably only 50,000 words, and my finished book will be about 100,000 words, because I keep adding things, that characterization, I add mood music, I add more internal introspection, and at the same time, I'm also cutting out the unnecessary words, watching the grammar stuff, and cutting out my weasel words that just don't work. And so, yeah, it takes 5 drafts at least before I'm ready to hand a book in.
Okay, well, those of you, and I know the particular 5, what I did is for the 5 who finished, I sent them each a book, you know, and I get so many books, and so I sent them a first edition of some book as a prize, because you don't actually get physical prizes at NaNoWriMo, but yes, you get the certificate. But I thought they should get something. And so I know they're listening, and so don't get worried. You can rewrite.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My analogy is that birthing a first draft is like birthing a baby. It comes out, it's on the table, it's a mess, but it exists, and you can work with something that exists.
That's right.
You can clean it up and send it to grammar school.
That's it. Exactly. And you certainly, boy, oh boy, you've had a lot of babies here. My goodness, it's ongoing. And meanwhile, in between all of that, you get to look at your chickens. How are your chickens doing?
My chickens are cold, and they fluff out their feathers. I think I mentioned this to you in an email. They fluff out their feathers when they're cold. Somehow that helps them retain body heat. So they all look like little puffballs running around in their coop. They're very cute.
Well, last time you were here, you brought me a half dozen eggs, beautiful eggs. I mean, gorgeous, the multicolored, different from the different chickens. And I realized, looking back on it, at that time, those eggs were probably worth, like, because they're really organic, fresh. I mean, they were like $3 an egg at that time. So I'm thinking, wow, you know, she gave me like $18. And, you know, that's more money than the guests never pay me. So I actually felt like, whoa, I was paid $18. Today, each of your eggs would be like $10.
My girlfriend wrote me. She said she paid $11 for 18 eggs at Walmart.
Yeah.
And they were just plain old grocery store eggs.
Yeah.
And it's because of the avian flu. There was a bad scourge of avian flu that went through the country. And so when it's detected in your flock, you have to kill them all. But my birds don't mix with any other birds, and so we
so
can't.
You can eat eggs every day.
Yeah, but the chickens take the winter off pretty much. So
yeah,
I've been lucky to get
I remember my
eggs.
And when we're talking about time off in northern Michigan, that was time off. But that was one of the joys of my life when I was a kid. I loved feeding the chickens. It was
They're really great.
Oh, they were wonderful. And of course, you have beauties. I mean, really,
I like fancy chickens.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have just ordinary chickens. You have beautiful chickens.
Yeah. I've lost some. My flock has been whittled down to size. Just, you know, sometimes they just fall over dead and you have no clue. And I've done the necropsy things and I thought, so I've just learned, you know, sometimes things happen.
But it's wonderful to have them.
It is.
It gives you that, there's something very, I don't know, I think your breathing slows or something when you're feeding the chickens and they're happy and you're happy.
Yeah, and I really think I was meant to be a farmer. I mean, I would just love to live on a ranch and go out and ride the horses. Of course, I don't have time for it in real life, but in heaven, I think I'm going to ask the Lord for a ranch.
That's probably, you'll get it. Boy, the way you're writing wonderful books that really celebrate. Mm. They do celebrate all of the people in the Bible. And, of course, you have this biblical background. You are, are you a PhD, right?
A PhD.
PhD. Mm-hmm. Okay, PhD in religious
theology.
Study and theology.
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. yeah, so you know what you're writing about. Again, thank you so much for coming in the studio today.
Oh,
you know,
well, thank
it's always
you for asking
wonderful,
me.
Wonderful to see you. And your website is Angela Hunt Books, mm-hmm. and people can go there and you can scroll through all of Angela's books. And believe me, there is a book there. There are many books there that you'll love. And you have to do a special sort of package or advertising. Are you going to Israel? Then you should read these books. You know, really, that's I think a lot of people who are going to Israel, they do look for books to read to sort of get them, you know, in mm-hmm. just psychologically and emotionally and historically in the mood for what they're going to see. And your books on the Bible characters are absolutely fantastic.
I would love to go back. I'm a little jealous that you get to go. I went like 40 years ago when I was in college and haven't been back since. And I know it's changed a lot. And now I have a new appreciation, of course, for everything that I saw back then. So, yeah, I hope to go back.
You have to go now that we can travel again and we can go places, which is so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for you during the pandemic, it wasn't so bad for you to be. That's the nice thing about writers. When you're stuck in the house, you can still
I'm
write.
Used to it. That's what I am anyway.
That's what happened. But, you know, it's just, I think it's just wonderful what you've done here with your stories. And I know that you do also children's books and mm-hmm. then you promote reading. And it's so important. I always tell people that really read to your children. Read starting at a very young age. Just read mm-hmm. so that they also find the love. And I hear that Big Ed is starting the music. And I always say something nice to Big Ed because thank you so much, Big Ed, for everything. And he's saluting me. And I'm saluting him because he always salutes me. Do you know that?
Oh.
Yeah, every I'll show salute he you. Salutes me because I should have been a I should have been a general. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. And stay warm and read a great book. Go to AngelaHuntBooks.com and you will find a book there that you will love. Bye-bye now.